Welcome, welcome. You are listening to episode 34 of Successful Bodyworker Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Mayfield, of course, and this is your number one show that talks solely about the self-care and longevity of the massage therapist and bodyworker. Whether you practice things like ashiatsu, chair massage, deep tissue relaxation does not matter to me. I will have the tips and tricks to help you stay in the game for the long haul so you can keep doing what you do best, working on clients, of course. I want to thank each and every one that has been with me from the start. And guess what? SB and the podcasts have both turned 1 year old this month. Crazy how time flies by, right? I think I'm going to start off by doing a quick time capsule. So anyone visiting this episode from the future can revisit some interesting things that have happened thus far in 2020. So first off, we have the big hitter, COVID-19, which has been, you know, one of the biggest unprecedented viruses of our lifetime. I know for me and, you know, a lot of other people that are older than I as well. So, you know, from mandatory masks to lockdowns, this has been a trying time for us all, but we will see a way out of it soon, I hope. I just want to give a shout out to all that has been on the front lines since this has begun. And of course, for all the bad, there are some good things that have come out of 2020, like J-Lo and Shakira showing the Super Bowl who's boss, even though there was an uproar about J-Lo getting on that pole, but that's aside the point. And also Tiger King, yeah, that happened, which gave us a few days worth of entertainment and eventually a lifetime of things that we cannot unsee. All right, so enough of that. Today's episode is about the four things that you, the new therapist, can do to make sure that you are staying a therapist past the usual burnout rate. And yes, this episode is specifically geared for brand new therapists that, you know, are right out of school, ready to tackle the world's pain. Now, you've probably heard me say this before, but therapists right out of the gate usually burn out within 3 years. So why do you think that is? There are, of course, many contributing factors to the overall burnout of the massage therapist, like spiritual and mental, but financial and physical burnout is something that I think makes its ugly head rear first before anything else. I think a big reason this happens is because of improper delivery of what the real importance of things like the equation of time and effort equaling money, knowing your true worth, body mechanics, posture, and self-care all mean. I, for one, don't remember a lot of emphasis on these key things. I know for me, most of it was on how to do the actual techniques and the science behind the human body. You know, these things can be great, but guess what? If you don't have a strong core, good habits of body mechanics or posture, then it doesn't really matter how many clients you have or how great your technique feels. You will not be able to maintain any of that without getting an injury. So this is just but a few things we will be breaking down today. Now, I know how exciting it can be in school. You know, you're pumped to get out there and get into the field and start changing people's lives. I definitely was there, so I get it. In school, 10 years ago, I was really excited to start working on my community of powerlifters, and armed with an extensive knowledge base of how cells work and how many spindle fibers are in the bicep, it was time to get going. But let me tell you how unprepared I was to even work on two clients a day. Just two clients a day. I knew about body mechanics, but I thought that you could just kind of muscle your way through strokes. This worked for about a month, and then I started to feel some pain in my shoulder. After just 6 months, I was already starting to feel the effects of poor posture and trying to brute force everything. Obviously, I'm still a therapist today, and part of the reason that this is a reality is because I focused on really rebuilding a good foundation of proper body mechanics and posture. You want to know the other part of this equation? I was only charging $40 an hour for my sessions. I had my own issues of limiting self-belief regarding why I should charge that much, especially in the good part of town with my abilities at the time and all of the competition of other therapists. The whole thing was, I really didn't feel like I was worth charging more. And if you are in the same boat, it's just not true, man. It's not true. This brings me to the very first point. You have to charge what you're actually worth. I don't care who you are or what modality you practice, but you, my friend, are worth more than just $40 an hour, even in your first year. If you don't think this is true, take, for example, a massage franchise. They have certain membership tiers that clients can buy an hour session for $70 an hour. Oftentimes, that franchise hires therapists right out of school, and those therapists, those same therapists, are completing sessions that are worth $70 an hour. And clients oftentimes tip on top of that. So now you're looking at $80 to $90 an hour. Now that isn't actually what the therapist is making for those franchises, but if the therapists at these franchise locations can give an amazing service that is worth $70 right out of the gates of school, then I really invite you to think about what you really are worth and setting the bar higher. This plays on so many levels of self-care too. Remember earlier when I mentioned the equation of time and effort equaling the most money possible for you? This is a prime example of that principle. Let's go back to the example of the franchised massage therapist. If you are charging a minimum of $70 an hour per service for your session, that is roughly equivalent to 5 massages minus a tip. Just imagine working less at the same time as making more money. This is one part of the equation too. The other part is that obviously the less amount you actually work, the less wear and tear you place on your body. I would strongly recommend raising your rates every single year, even if it is just, you know, $5. The clients that really, really enjoy your treatments and find value in you will gladly pay more and more. Most do understand the need for businesses to grow and scale. So even if you lose one or two clients here, your total pay increase will largely make up for it in your profits. If anything, this will show you how people really truly think, and you will realize who you do not want in your practice, which is an awesome self-care piece too. And it doesn't stop there either. There are plenty of ways to make your time and value to your client worth more without necessarily doing more physically. You can add in aromatherapy for a nominal fee, or perhaps create some membership options yourself for clients where they are given multi-tiers offering, you know, varying degrees of awesome things. Maybe I'll do another episode on the membership thing because this has been a question that comes up really commonly. So that, my friends, was the very first point, making sure your time and effort equal the most money possible without doing the most physically. So moving on to the actual physical piece of this podcast, what can you do to make sure your physical self-care is on point? I first want to start off by saying that if you are brand new to the field, then a really important thing that kind of ties in these other points is not biting off more of a workload than you can chew right off the bat. I know the thought of this can be hard to overcome at first because the want to make money is real, right? And that's how we actually pay our bills. But it's important to take baby steps until you're ready to fully take on a full day. This will be much easier in my eyes if you are priced right as well, then you can afford to lift the fold a bit. I know a lot of veteran therapists that regularly do 6, 7, or 8 hours a day, but for many of them, it didn't start out that way. I say this ties in with other points because none of that stuff will matter if you get to hour 4 and you can't maintain good body mechanics anymore or complete your day without an injury. So this leads me to the very second point in today's show, which is that good body mechanics must be maintained in every single session. I still see many therapists years into their practice that bend at the thoracic spine to do elbow work. To me, good body mechanics are not only having your body in a good place in order to be the most mechanically advantaged as far as maintaining good integrity in your joints, but also advantage in the sense where you are delivering the type of pressure that your client wants in the easiest and most effective manner possible. So, what is the most efficient use of your body to make certain strokes easier? The use of body weight, in my eyes, is the quickest way to make your body more efficient. Second up in that race is a good foundation of core strength. Your core is the first to fire in every single bodily movement, so making sure that your trunk has a good baseline of strength through abdominal bracing is going to be a really good thing for therapists to maintain. A really good exercise for this is a plank, which can be done with body weight or weighted. So you've probably seen a plank before at the gym, right? So what we want to do is be on the ground prone, right? And have your elbows and your toes in contact with the floor. Now you'll see a lot of people in the gym do this incorrectly. And incorrectly is when the spine is in kyphosis and you're trying to like contract your abdominals that way. What we want is a completely neutral spine and having our shoulder blades down and back and retracted too. So this is the proper way to do an actual plank. And if you want to add weight to your back, you can have like a 45-pound plate or a kettlebell, anything weighted that you can put on your back that's comfortable for you. So plank's going to be the best for actually strengthening those core bracing muscles. And as far as a good stance you can use is one that I explained in the last episode on anterior shoulder dominance, episode 33. So I explained how being more upright and using a split stance power position where your arms are bone stacked in a straight line can be a really good way to use both body weight and a little bit of strength to deliver great pressure without much effort at all. Using this power stance really helps keep your posture maintained as well, because you are more likely to have a neutral spine with your shoulder blades in a better position, neck and head in a proper alignment, and hips at a better angle. Good body mechanics in general will help promote better posture, but there are things that you can do outside of the treatment room to ensure that your posture is on point. So that was my very second point, maintaining good body mechanics. Number three on today's list is the key muscles that need to be trained and strengthened in order to help prevent further injury. Now, chances are, if you're a brand new therapist and you don't have a history of injury in any certain area, then your body isn't predisposed to the strains that being a therapist can place on you, which is a good thing. The reality is, being a therapist is hard on our bodies. And that's not to scare you, because what we do is absolutely incredible, and the ability to help people is something that only a few have the talent for. But if you are using some of these tools in your arsenal, then being a therapist will be easier for you than most. If you are like many of us, then you likely practice Western type modalities where you spend a lot of time standing, using the shoulder girdle a lot, and bending over to do deeper work. There is a reason why a lot of therapists are booked, and it's because these techniques are really effective and feel good. But the reality of the matter is, a lot of therapists don't use their bodies correctly in order to administer the type of pressure that they normally give on a regular basis and that clients request. In my eyes, this is all because of the overuse of the agonist muscles that are working to move our bodies in the techniques we commonly use. Some of those muscles include the pecs, anterior delts, triceps, quads, and lower back. Now, that being said, the muscles that we need to focus on are upper back muscles like the traps, lats, rhomboids, biceps, and lower body muscles like the glutes, hamstrings, and abdominals. These are all considered your antagonist muscles in this case, you know, being in the treatment room, being a therapist, and strengthening these key muscles will ensure that there is a good play between the agonist and antagonist muscles. Having an even play in strength between these two groups is ultimate self-care, because you are limiting the chance of getting injured. If you check out sp.com, we have an exercise index that focuses on exercises that strengthen solely the antagonist muscles. This index breaks down the exercises by muscle and provide you with a tutorial on exact technique and execution. All these exercises are tailored specifically to you, the massage therapist, and will help you stay injury-free throughout your career. So that is number three, strengthening the muscles that can help with injury prevention. The final point here, number four, is just simply know your limits and know the difference between being sore from working versus muscular or joint pain and inflammation. The latter is probably a sign that what you're currently doing isn't doing your body any good, and at that point, it may be time to revisit your techniques and habit you do on the daily. It's really no different than individuals that go to the gym regularly. There is a huge, huge, huge difference between feeling that tight muscle feeling when working out and, you know, accompanied by the soreness after, and joint pain when doing certain things, or inflammation brought about by an injury from poor form. As I tell everyone, if you're feeling that joint pain, back off immediately, because that is a sign that your body doesn't like that particular exercise. Most times I see therapists bend over too much and rely too heavily on things like their elbows, thumbs, and fingers. So it's a good idea, if you use these techniques heavily, that you want to keep track of how you're feeling so that you don't run into injuries down the road. I think injuries are often a result of not listening to your body's cues and signs that it's in pain. If something feels off or begins feeling tight or inflamed, it's good to start kind of dissecting the root cause of the issue and see where it's going. All right, guys, I really, really hoped you enjoyed today's episode, and I hoped this helped those of my listeners that are right out of school looking to start their journey off on the right foot forward. And remember, the left one is to push off of. So to quickly recap, first we went over the reason you want to think about starting off with your rates higher than you think might be necessary. Number two, was the real reason you want to maintain good body mechanics in your practice. Number three was the key muscles that need to be strengthened in order to help therapists that practice Western modalities, muscles like lats, rhomboids, and traps. And finally, number four, knowing the difference between being sore and feeling inflamed and having joint pain. All right, guys, have a good one and stay tuned for another installment of Successful Bodyworker Podcast. Hey, everybody, if you like this episode and you're looking for more of an in-depth solution for injury prevention, strength gain, financial self-care, and limiting self-beliefs, then check out successfulbodyworker.com. This is your number one resource for all things therapist self-care. Inside, you will find in-depth courses, webinars, Q&A calls, and an awesome tribe of therapists that all want to help you achieve the longevity you only thought was possible. Don't wait for an injury or burnout to happen. Level up your strength, self-care, and longevity today with Successful Bodyworker. See you all on the inside.